Breathe in, breathe out. Tell me all of your doubt. And everybody bleeds this way, just the same. Breathe in, breathe out. Move on and break down. If everyone goes away, I will stay. We push and pull, and I fall down sometimes. And I'm not letting go, you hold the other line. 'Cause there is a line in your eyes, in your eyes. Hold on, hold tight, from out of your sight. Everything keeps moving on, moving on. Hold on, hold tight. Make it through another night. And every day there comes a song with the dawn. We push and pull, and I fall down sometimes. And I'm not letting go, you hold the other line. 'Cause there is a light in your eyes, in your eyes. 'Cause there is a light in your eyes, in your eyes. Everything under the stars is in your arms. 'Cause there is a light in your eyes, in your eyes. 'Cause there is a light in your eyes.
Grace. I've been holding on to resentment. There are things I can't get over yet. I'm not perfect. I will never be, but I wish it. I don't always want to share or feel vulnerable. I feel weak. I feel the need to be stingy. I'm triggered daily. There are things unhealed in me. I want honesty, but I lie to others and myself. I want to avoid the pain of feeling inadequate. I want to be seen, but sometimes I'm hiding parts of myself. I'm avoiding shame and punishment. The truth sometimes feels distant, like some treasure I have to keep retrieving. Yet the truth is glorious. By it, I am saved and freed. I long for clarity and understanding, but grace is beyond my comprehension, though it teaches and guides me. The truth is, things have changed. I call out to Jesus. I know my need. I know God is listening. I am known. I am called by a new name. Awesome lover, my teacher, my friend, my true being. Did you know the soul has wings? And God is perched there watching over creation, your gaze participation, soaring in the eagle, moving with the wind through the tall grass, showing up every day in surprises both joyous and terrifying. The gifts and beauty are overwhelming in growing intensity. There is only one real response to grace. Praise.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home built in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. I got a mother, a sister, and a father. Them gone on now to the other shore, and I'm determined to go and see them, good Lord, and to live with them forevermore. When I go down to the river of Jordan, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, good Lord, then I know that I know you'll make me
And when he laid me down for the last time, with his hard hand resting on my breast, I don't want none of that weeping and crying, Lord, 'cause I know that I've gone on to rest. Yeah.
Yes, I am a pilgrim. Traveling through this wearisome land, and I've got a home built in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by
In so many ways, I have felt like a pilgrim in a strange land over the past 15 months. Yes, I have. But it feels today like we have made it through pandemic, at least to this point, June 13th, which is, if all goes as planned, our last pre-recorded worship. I hold really deep gratitude for all of you, for our amazing team of Avery and Ben, Brendan, Casey, Seska, Chloe, Hannah, Natalie, Omari, Tim, Bryce, and my trusted co-pastor, Matt. On behalf of all of them and our whole community of faith, welcome to online worship with the table today. My name is Linda Dew-Hirsu, and alongside Matt Smith, we serve as the co-pastors of this community of faith, which has just completed a long season of pandemic and all that it brought with it. We really long to be a community which celebrates God's unconditional love for all, and to do so both in person and online so very, very soon, so that more of God's people will witness all that we at the table believe, which is that for God, all truly does mean all. Today, we continue our worship series, and we're calling it How It Started and How It's Going. Over these 5 weeks, we are highlighting how people from our community of faith have grown during their experience of the COVID-19 pandemic. We will hear each week from 3 to 5 people in our community as we prepare to open our doors for in-person worship and launch the Table.live, hopefully July 4th. If you are curious and you want to learn a little bit more about our community of faith, you may take a really easy next step and text the word new to the number that's right there on the screen, or you may go to our website, thetableumc.org, and find a connect pop-up there in the corner. Both will help us connect with you so that you can learn a little bit more about the table. When you're ready to meet others and wonder about how we share life together, we invite you to consider joining a series that Pastor Matt and I teach together called Growing in Faith. Our current series began a few weeks ago. Our next group will begin in August, and I hope, you know, I really hope that doesn't feel like it's too far into the future, because trust me, it will be here before we all know it, and we will be ready to welcome you. If you would like to join us, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and register there. We are also really excited to share some news about Table Farm this week. We've launched our weekly subscriptions of a bag of veggies, and 20 people from the neighborhood around the farm have subscribed. We have enough for 10 more weekly subscriptions. And if you would like to gift a weekly bag of fresh vegetables to a family at Tubman House or subscribe for yourself, you may go to the link that is right there in the comments. So now we are going to continue in worship with a song that it's been in my head actually since our music team first shared it with us. It really helped me throughout this pandemic. Maybe it helped you too. I think it'll still keep helping me as we move forward. This is our music team sharing Come and Undone by Sarah Jarosz.
Some days feel so heavy. Come when I'm not quite ready. I get to feeling useless, but I can see right through this. I'm gonna let the song in my head ring. It feels like the world is collapsing, but I already know what's gonna happen. I'm gonna hold on tighter. Yes, I'm a lover, but I'm also a fighter. The song in my head keeps me clapping. Cause I've got a song and it must be sung. Every day's a war and it must be won. Whenever I feel like I'm coming, song in my head keeps me marching on. The world's full of bad news bearers, talking heads talking about terror. Sometimes I feel so useless, like nothing I could do would ever improve it. I can make the world a little better. You tell me that you worry about tomorrow. You talk like all the time you got is borrowed. Like you're living on credit, but you keep singing, honey, you can bet it's gonna sing it.
so we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new.
The dust settles after a hit and run, bewildered by the damage done. I don't know why we choose the roads we travel, or how a life could get so unraveled. We live our lives from then until now, by the mercy received and the marks upon our brow. To my heart I'll collect what the four winds will scatter and frame my life, I before and after. Once a trick of light made me a red fire was blazing from every tree. We held hands as the evening gathered. I forgave myself for what I didn't ask her. Once I saw the sky filled with falling stars, bumped my head in the dark and it left a scar. Held on too tight before I let it go, then forgave myself for what I didn't know. We live our lives from then until now, by the I've stretched my soul over 50 states. I have lived on fumes and religious cornflakes. And once I dreamed my shoes had grown thin and battered, and forgive myself for what didn't matter. God said, Cain, where is your brother?
grieving mother. Jacob dreamt an angel called his name, and he never was quite the same.
Amen and amen. Indeed, in and through God's grace, we continue to find ways to frame our lives by before and after. I am grateful for Natalie and Melissa and our entire music team and the gift of that song that comes to us from Carrie Newcomer. It is a reminder that just as in this worship series, we are taking time each week to reflect, to hear reflections from people from our own community of faith, reflecting on before and after. Today, we have an opportunity to hear from Seska and Karen, from Ashley and Alicia, and also from Emily. Our inspiration for this worship series was drawn from a meme which many of you might have seen. It went viral last fall. It's evolved over the months as a way to express what we were just singing about, before and after. And the meme did that by sharing two photos side by side, how it started, how it's going. Our reading today from 2 Corinthians was originally written by Paul and addressed to the church in Corinth. Paul has been drawing in this letter to the church in Corinth, Paul has been drawing contrasts: human weakness, divine power, outer life, inner life, the present, the future. And in this particular portion of the letter, Paul makes these contrasts more personal. Being away from home, being at home, the old passing away, and the new life, the new creation taking shape. So let us listen. Let us listen and wonder together about how it started and how it's going as we hear from these folks from our community of faith reflecting on how the old has been passing away and the new life emerging for them.
This scripture reminds me that when one season is born from another season, and one human is born from another human, the new is just as real and just as full and just as whole as the one that birthed it. And for me, how it's going right now was very much born from how it started. The heartbreak of pandemic set in for me in April 2020, early April, when I served as a doula for two families within the same week, two births within the same week. And I attended both of those births over video. It is really hard to describe how surreal and hope-crushing those experiences were for me during that time. So much was lost. So much advocacy was lost. The tool of my body, the tool of my physical presence was lost. moments for connection, moments for calm, moments for feeling grounded, and feeling heard, or completely lost. And that was extremely, extremely hard. My work as a doula has transformed over the past year. But the core question that keeps me grounded in the work has stayed the same and deepened. And that question is, what is our collective responsibility when someone is born? I started considering that question to be theological in 2017 when I found the table. And in the past year, I decided to close the season of discernment of whether or not seminary was the next step for me. I decided to close that season and begin the season of pursuit and articulation. And it has not been a season I have enjoyed, quite honestly. It has been extremely vulnerable, and the pursuit and articulation have required emotional bravery and literal time during a period of my life when I feel like I had none of either of those to give. But the question of collective responsibility when someone is born, it's the question I let guide me, because birth is never singular. Having a responsibility to someone's birth means having a responsibility to someone's life. And to me, having a responsibility to someone's life actually also means having a responsibility to someone's death. At the table, I hear that spoken about in the way of watching over your neighbor in love. So in the fall, I will start seminary at Yale Divinity School with the hope of exploring the responsibilities of being alive, exploring the moral consequences of grief, and exploring what sacred texts have to tell us about being born and dying too. So it started for me so precariously, unsure of everything, wanting to begin an application journey but very scared, and sort of just like taking stock around me, ensuring that I had the support that I needed, and taking the first step despite everything. And how it's going? A lot more grounded. Things are going a lot more grounded. Feeling seen for my questions, feeling assured that my moral questions about birth and death are theological ones, and preparing to move to New Haven to be a full-time student as I work full-time too. Both seasons feel whole in and of themselves. On the other side of seminary, I hope exists a practice of accompaniment, a practice of being beside people that is more informed by faith and is more informed by spiritual direction. And that might take the form of being a birth practitioner, continuing to be a doula. That might take the form of chaplaincy. That might take the form of mentorship or more learning in some way. But right now I am feeling assured and feeling clear that seminary is the next right step. And with how it started, with how just destabilizing the beginning of the pandemic was for me and for all of us, with the truth of that, being able to feel excitement about seminary and feel excitement about community that is asking the same questions and introducing me to new ones is really beautiful.
How it started, how it's going. Worship. For generations, the church was a social and cultural hub, as well as a missional hub. In addition to faith reasons, people loved going to church because it was one of a handful of options available in a community, as well as one of the main ways to connect with God. We often attend church as consumers. What do we get out of it? We attend church out of obligation, ritual, or tradition. But having that taken away has changed us. We learned the church isn't a building, it's the people. We had to dig deeper to stay connected. It's not as easy as just walking into a building anymore. And now, as we see the pandemic finish line, we're going to have to dig even deeper. How it's going. We now live in an age where attending church for attendance sake is dying fast. What we don't need any more of is church where people merely attend and never engage. We've interrupted some of our rituals. Receiving communion every week, giving in the offering plate, attending church only on Sunday morning. And we've learned that loving our neighbors can mean staying home and wearing masks. All means all is even more true now. All the folks who live too far away to physically attend our church, all the folks who don't drive, all those who work on Sunday mornings, and those with health conditions that prevent them from attending in person. Finances, how it started. When pandemic forced our doors to be closed, as finance chair, I was super concerned about the finances. What happens with all those folks who put checks in the offering every week? In my mind, we were definitely going to suffer financially and would need to make some cuts. How it's going? Wow, you all have stepped up. We've been able to continue paying all the staff and even giving moderate raises. We've been able to hire audiovisual staff. How it's going. Wow, you all have stepped up. We've been able to continue paying all the staff and even giving moderate raises. We've been able to hire audiovisual staff to put our online worship services together. We've been able to continue with all of our ministries and even expand some. You've learned to make online donations and you've been more generous than ever. Thank you. Personal, how it started. It was easy to feel like crap in 2020. The deadly pandemic, police brutality, civil rights protests, conspiracy theories, political crises. Scary news put my brain on high alert, leaving me doom scrolling through endless social media feeds to stay abreast of the latest threats. Interruptions jolt us. They upset our equilibrium. They force a reaction. Interruptions challenge us to pause and assess what's happening. Then build a plan to respond, and ultimately, interruptions provoke us to act. The interruptions of 2020 forced me to examine hard issues like racial inequities, voter suppression, aberrant leadership, isolation, and helplessness. I missed hugging my parents and my grandkids. My heart aches when I think of the 1.5 million people who died from pandemic. And the brown and black men and women who died at the hands of law enforcement. How it's going. After a long pandemic pause, we are finally contemplating a restart. On a micro scale, we slowed down. We learned what was important. We played board games and did jigsaw puzzles and really talked and listened to each other. On a macro scale, we elected a new president. Tore down racist monuments, teams, bands, and brands changed their names, and we are speaking up against police brutality and institutionalized racism. All good things. Personally, I'm looking forward to traveling again, live theater, hanging out with friends and family, and not wearing a mask. But I'm also looking forward to continuing the journey of waking up and speaking up and experiencing positive changes brought about by this terrible, no good, very bad year.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
And my name is Alicia.
And we're both medical students, members of the table community as well. And so thinking about the prompt
and the verses from this week, we were kind of trying to reflect really and remember back to the beginning. And for us, this pandemic year kind of coincided with a change and a transition point in our medical education, where we went from more didactic and book learning and really started getting into the fun parts of it for us, which is patient care and being in the hospital and the clinics. And I think in a lot of ways, thinking about that time period, it was a scary time to make that transition because there were a lot of unknowns and a lot of unknowns from a logistical standpoint of, okay, where do I show up and how do I contact this new team and different people that you have to work with, but also unknowns from the context of pandemic and thinking about safety and thinking about our families in that way as well. But once we kind of got in there and got started, aside from extra face shields and washing our hands until they were raw, a lot of it ended up, once we got in the groove of things, looking probably similar to what they would have looked like otherwise. And so in thinking back to that time and kind of just how things go of uncertainty, and how you originally feel about something, and we're both kind of people that like to ask a lot of questions and like to really know where we're going and what to expect, and use that a lot to feel a sense of control. I think we've learned a lot from that time period of, and going through this type of training, medical training, I mean, that you can't often have that type of control, and so learning those lessons along the way to try to change our mindset. Not that we've become masters of being comfortable in the discomfort, but I think that's maybe a bit of what we've noticed is changed from how it's going now to how we started out in all of this.
Mm-hmm. I think one story I think about in terms of letting go of control is we adopted a cat in October, to add to our already one cat household to make it a two cat household. And here comes one of them now. And so we adopted this cat and I saw her online and was like, she's perfect for us. And then we brought her home and she had fleas and she hated, this is Lentil, the first cat that we had. And it was a disaster. Like it was just a mess. And I was really stressed about it. And I think we certainly hadn't learned to give up and relinquish control. We're still learning that. And so I felt like that if we just, you know, did the right thing, followed the right YouTube video / Google link, then they would become friends. And then in the end, they became friends and now are best friends that we're hopefully flashing a photo of right now with basically no input from us at all. And so I think this verse for this week about transformation and the old passing away and the new coming into fruition, I always think I read this with this expectation of immediacy, that this happens overnight, that suddenly there's transformation and the old passes away and we are growing and we are better, and that happens quickly. And I think this year has really taught us that that doesn't actually happen all that often, and that change and growth is slow and hard, and that it doesn't always happen in a linear fashion, and it's really unpredictable too. And I love Mary Oliver poetry, and there's this poem that she has that says, "I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often." And I love this line in the beginning about the hope of myself, because I think this year revealed in a lot of ways the gap between myself personally and us, the hope of what we might be. And I think also revealed societally in a lot of ways, the hope of what our society might be, and that there's still so much distance from that. And so I think I have learned this past year, or maybe we were in the process of learning would be a more accurate way of saying that, this process of becoming new is a gradual daily evolution.
Hi, my name is Emily Gardner, and I'm on the administrative board here at the table. I'm a mom of two, and I'm so grateful to be sharing a bit about the last year with you today. When I think about this scripture that we're holding today, everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new in light of the last 14 months. I mostly think about the dramatic ways my perspective has shifted. Things were steady. Things were stable. Things were fine. But were they? In our kitchen tables, we've been debriefing together about personal and collective suffering over these past 14 months. And while I can get on board with collective suffering, I have a much more difficult time acknowledging personal suffering. I have white skin, I'm cisgendered, I have a safe place to live and financial stability. What on earth could I have to complain about? Literally no one wants to hear that. And yet, refusing to acknowledge suffering says I believe that suffering has levels of importance. It puts me on a playing field where suffering doesn't exist for me. How can I enter into the suffering and pain of another? Empathy can't exist without at least a taste of the other person's deep suffering. So, despite my discomfort with talking about my own feelings, let's dive in, shall we? In November 2019, I was in a dark place. My preschooler was about to start attending school 5 days a week after 4 years of mostly being at home with me. I had no job and what felt like no prospects. My husband and I desperately still wanted a baby after 3 long years of miscarriages and fertility treatments and waiting and disappointment. Having no history of anxiety, I suffered a panic attack that month, and then the uneasy fear that follows, where you're just anxious about it happening again all the time. In December, we found out I was pregnant, much to our delight and honestly, terror. Having a baby was the goal, but for me, being pregnant meant daily blood thinner injections, tons of doctor's appointments, and of course, the all-consuming fear and anxiety of another miscarriage or another ending like our older son's, who was born 9 weeks early, spent 2 long months in the NICU with chronic lung disease. Let's just say on the inside, I wasn't handling it all that well. So when pandemic reared its ugly head in the U.S., in March, I leaned hard into those pregnancy hormones and just cried us a river. But when I finally came up for air after those first few scary weeks, I realized I had so much to live for, to really, truly be alive for. My big kid needed me more than ever. My husband needed a partner to navigate this new world with. And this little baby needed a mom to be hopeful and strong. What a juxtaposition of all the death in our world and the absolute miracle of life growing inside me. I vacillated, as I think we all did, between experiencing extreme doomsday fear and feeling so much gratefulness for the beauty and glory of new life. Perhaps the strangest part of the next few months was how much time I spent in the hospital without COVID. A high-risk pregnancy meant that the last 8 weeks involved 3 to 4 doctor's appointments per week. A hospital was the last place you wanted to be during the pandemic. And yet it was so beautiful to experience firsthand the incredible love and care of the medical community. The fact that they kept showing up day after day to work, to care for people, truly felt to me like Jesus loving the least of these. A healthcare worker's work has been holy work, this year especially. So after a long, hot, smoky summer on August 19th, baby James cried those loud, beautiful tears of new life. He was healthy and I was too. We looked out of our hospital room at the dark, wildfire-filled skies and just felt so much peace. If I learned nothing else this year, I will take away this one thing. I have so little control over the things that happen around me and so much control over my reaction to them. Becoming new for me means expanding my heart in love. It means increasing in vulnerability. It means making room to suffer together. This year, it meant choosing courage to have another baby, to buy a house in a neighborhood we love and put down roots in our community. It even meant living through a renovation, still in progress, to make a more open and inviting home, to give our community a safe space to be loved and cared for. I'm looking forward to our world reopening, and I would never wish this kind of a year on my children. But I'm really grateful for how much I've experienced God's provision and comfort. And I hope you felt the same.
Amen. We are so, so grateful to be in this together with you all and for the vulnerability of the reflections which have been shared with us over these weeks, inviting us to wonder about all that God is making new in our lives, all that God is making new in the world. For these testimonies which have invited us to expand our hearts in love, I want to encourage us from that place to move now into a time of prayer and to do so by noticing whatever might have been enlivened within our own hearts and bodies and minds and souls as we have listened to these reflections. And I want to invite us to take all of that together while physically apart into a time of prayer. We're going to pray today through a prayer that comes to us from the work of the people. This is called Behold. The music was originally written and it's shared here by Alana Lewandowski. And so I want to invite us to take all that we have just encountered and held through these fabulous people from our own community of faith and to center our hearts and our minds, our bodies, our souls in this time of prayer. So let us pray.
Behold, Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Let there be light. Let there be
indeed, God is doing a new thing in light, in love, and so may this be our truth this day and all the days of our lives. Amen and amen. One of the new things, one of the things that is passing away and becoming new is the website to our community of faith. Thetableumc.org has looked the same since the beginning of pandemic, but today marks a new beginning for that website. So we would love for you to take a moment on your phone or a laptop and to check that out. We've transitioned the website and you'll see the new look in that space. You can sign up there if you would like to for our next Growing in Faith series. You can see what's going to be coming up in worship. You can learn more about the old that is passing away and the new that is going to take shape as we transition our experience of worship. Beginning next Sunday, we will start to live stream. Our musicians will be here in the sanctuary live. Our pastor team will be here and a couple of folks that are gonna help us learn the AV as we go forward with this live streaming process. For you, what that means, beginning next Sunday, we wanna encourage you at 9:30 a.m. California time to join us online at a new platform that we've been working on to help us build our community online together. That platform is called thetable.live. It is available right now. You can check it out. Seska shared a video there last week, and that's in the upper right corner of thetable.live. It'll help you get introduced and oriented to that space. There'll be ways, if you would like, to sit next to a person in a virtual pew, to talk with other folks, to meet new people or connect with old friends at a virtual coffee table after worship. We'll do that together next week on thetable.live. You can also stay completely anonymous if you would like, but we will begin that process next Sunday, June the 20th. And then we are planning to open the doors of this sanctuary for the very first time in a long, long time for in-person worship, a celebration that we're gonna call Interdependence Day, Sunday, July the 4th. If you would like to help support our ministries during this time of transition, you could go to our website, the new look of thetableumc.org, and you could find there a way to give, make a one-time gift or to set up recurring giving. Alternatively, if you would like, you can simply text any amount that you would like to share with this community of faith to the number that's there on your screen, and that'll go to support our ministries during this important time of listening for how God is calling us into new creation together. Our music team is going to help us go out this morning. This is a song that comes to us. It's written, originally performed by Christine DeMarco. And this is our music team sharing this song that is called something that I have needed as a mantra for some time now, Fear Not. We deeply hope this will be our last time of pre-recording worship. Live streaming next Sunday, 9:30 California time, thetable.live. We decided we're going to do this. This is my attempt. So may you go in peace, loving God, loving our neighbor. Amen. And we're out.
We're out. Peace.
I'm dropping the mic.
Piles up as you
you're feeling overcome, stand still and believe. I won't let you drown when a cry's in your throat. Watching all the waves below, lift your eyes to the sky and trust that I won't pass you by. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Ooh, fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Let me show you what I see. You can't dream too big for me. So get up, get on your way. We've got things to do today. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. I would, yeah. I would, yeah. Remember all I told you. Remember all I said. When the questions start rising, keep your eyes fixed straight ahead. Hold on tightly to the promise. Hold firmly to the truth.